Well, good morning. I'm still working through a cold, and so if I cough a little bit here and there, just deal with it. I'm doing everything I can medication-wise to not have that happen, so we'll just keep pushing. And I am thrilled to be able to bring God's Word to you today and excited for the series. The series has been just awesome altogether, the Christmas Collision. And so today, I want to talk about faith. Talk about faith. In order to believe the Christmas story found in the Bible, you must have faith. You must have faith. Now, faith is believing in something. Now, for some, at 1 o'clock today, you have faith, if you're an Eagles fan, you have faith in St. Nick showing up, right? In Nick Foles showing up. And he's going to bring it, and he's going to help the Eagles go to a victory, and he's going to take the Eagles to the Super Bowl. All right, good. At least we have some believers, right? That's a lot of faith, I'm just saying. Now, in order to believe in the actual events of the first Christmas, you need to have even more faith than that. And your faith, the object of your faith, needs to be in God. Now, it's not just a feeling of faith. A lot of times we confuse that, where we have this feeling and we say, well, feelings equal faith. No, it's not that at all, and we're going to describe that a bit. Here's why believing in the Christmas story takes a lot of faith. The biblical Christmas story, not the one you see on TV, not that Christmas story, but the biblical Christmas story takes a lot of faith. Now think about this with me. An angel appears to this teenage girl named Mary, and says that you are going to have a child through God's Spirit, not a man. Easy to believe, hard to believe. A little bit of faith, a lot of bit of faith. This is a lot, let's be real. To go further, the angel says that this child will set up an eternal kingdom, and it's fascinating that to Mary and Joseph, there's some distinctions as to what the angel is saying, but to distinguish this, the angel is saying to her that this child will set up this eternal or forever kingdom, and this child, whose name will be Jesus, will save his people or the world from their sins. Fascinating. So in order to believe this, let's just kind of put this into real perspective here. In order to have this belief that this story, this biblical story, could actually take place, you'd have to believe several things. You'd have to believe, number one, that there is a God, and that God sends angels. So then you would have to believe in angels that go into the presence of God. And then you'd have to believe that Mary really existed. Then you'd have to believe that Joseph really existed. Then you'd have to believe that Jesus really existed. And you'd have to believe that there's an eternal kingdom. And you'd have to believe that Jesus saved the world. This is a lot, don't you think? And this is in one tiny little conversation. This is why people struggle with Christianity. Because it takes a lot of faith to believe in what is stated here in this biblical account of Christmas. So how do you respond to that? For me, I consider myself to be a person of simple faith. I grew up in a Christian background, so the Christmas story was something that I was accustomed to or used to from the time I was a child. We didn't grow up talking about the other person that represents Christmas. We talked about Jesus, and we'll have that discussion some other time, but I don't bring that up in church anymore. So anyway, that's where we were, and so I was brought up thinking and knowing who Jesus was. And at age 6, I placed my faith in Jesus Christ, in that I said, okay, Jesus Christ is the one who came. He saved me from my sins, so I placed my faith in Jesus Christ alone. My life was totally changed. It wasn't that I was an alcoholic and drug addict at 5 years old, and at 6, I cleaned myself up, went to rehab, or I accepted Jesus, and now I wasn't. It wasn't that at all. It was that at that point, I now knew that God had a plan for me at 6 years old. At 9 years old, I knew that God wanted me to be a pastor. Is that weird? And you could ask people that grew up with me. They knew that I knew that God wanted me to be a pastor. And in my high school years, I planned to be a pastor. Not that I lived that way. I was very inconsistent in my walk with God at different seasons of my life. And so I'm a human being just the same, and I struggled at different points. But when I was a child at 9, 10, 11 years old, my faith in God was this. I heard and read in the Bible that Jesus said, if you have enough faith, you can move what? Mountains. Yeah, you know the text. You know what Jesus said, right? And so listen, this is who I am, just straight out. So I grew up in Pennsylvania, and out back, I literally, this was on my mind, and I'm thinking, I believe in God. I have faith. And it says, of that of a what seed? Mustard seed. See, you know that, right? So if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, I had no idea how big a mustard seed was, but I knew it had to be tiny. So if I had that kind of faith, and I believed, it was around 10 years old or so, I believed that I had that kind of faith, that I could move mountains. And so here's what I did. I walked outside. I'm out back in the middle of, like, it was a springtime kind of day. Nobody's around, and I'm praying to God. I'm saying, God, I have this kind of faith. I believe in you. I trust in you. So God, that mountain, which was more of a hill, but at 10 years old, it looked like a mountain. That mountain over there, I don't know what's going to happen to the deer that are going across and the cows that are over there or the people that are driving the street there. It doesn't matter to me what could happen. But God, that mountain, move that mountain. And do you know what happened? Nothing. So what happened? Was my faith crushed? No, not at all. Now, I don't know, how many of you have done something like that? Okay, there's like two. All right, cool. All right, awesome. Thanks for being honest. And did you see those hands, right? They're like, yeah, it's me. I'm crazy like that. Listen, I'll tell you what. I know I'm crazy, and you probably think that I'm a little bit crazy, but I'm telling you what, if people back in Noah's day thought he was crazy all the way up until the rain started coming, right? You see, I still trust and believe God. My faith is still as strong today as it was at 10 years old, that I still believe God is on his throne. I still believe God is big enough not to move the physical mountain. That's not what I believe it's talking about in maturing through things. I've realized that God is moving mountains in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives around us, that God changes things. And I've prayed and I've seen God move mountains. I've seen God restore relationships that there is no way that humanly possible these relationships would come back together. I've seen God work in finances in ways that I'm like, man, oh man, can you believe this? It was a total God moment. I've seen God heal people that were diseased, and there was no way. Doctor said, I can't explain this. What is it? God can still move mountains. My faith is still that strong. And I hope and pray that your faith is strong like that too. I hope that your faith is stronger than mine. Not to compare, but because you truly trust and believe that Jesus is who he says he is and that God is really all that powerful. Maybe you're struggling today. Maybe you're like, I'm not quite that crazy. I kind of maybe did that once. Well, I want to inspire you to have that kind of faith today. Because when I look at this whole Christmas story, I see Joseph as a man of faith. Here's his response. Open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, and we'll look in verse 19. Now, what we don't have in the Bible, in the account from Matthew and Luke, and they're the two that really talked about Jesus and the birth of Jesus. But we don't have the conversations, the private conversations that Mary and Joseph had. But in verse 18, running into this, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way, when his mother had been betrothed or engaged to Joseph before they came together. She was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. So they're engaged, ready to be married, but not consummated, not married yet. But it would be a formal marriage and in the betrothal period, in the engagement period. And I'll describe that a little bit in a couple minutes here. But it says she was found to be with child. It wasn't that she was now surprised. She was surprised by the announcement that the angel had to her, and her response was, "Do to me as you want. My body is yours for the wrecking, for whatever you want to do to it. You go ahead. My body is yours. I'm trusting you, God." And so that's what happens. And so I would imagine the next part, and it says, and her husband Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame. And so now he finds out what's going on. And this is prior to an angel talking to Joseph. So they had a conversation. Mary and Joseph have this conversation. I would imagine, listen, just kind of think this through. This is not in the Bible, but this is the way I think. And just modern day kind of thinking. So Mary and Joseph are having the conversation. Maybe they go out and they're having a fancy date at McDonald's or Burger King or something like that. And they go and they're sitting there together, and she's like glowing, you know, and all smiling. And he's like, "Hey, something's going on. What's happening?" She's like, "I have this really exciting news to tell you. This is something totally changing. My life is totally different now. And I, Joseph, I love you, and I love you. And Joseph, our life's going to be great and grand, and I can't wait for what's going to happen here. And Joseph, I love you." And the other day, Joseph, let me tell you how this worked. The other day, and he's sitting there while he's eating his Big Mac or quarter pounder with cheese. Which one? Again, neither. And so he's eating his food and his French fries, dipping into the ketchup, right, Matt? And enjoying that. And so while he's eating this, and he's kind of listening, and she's kind of going and going and going, and she's all excited, and he can't even get a word in, so he's just listening. And she's like, "The other day, I'm watching this Hallmark show, and it was so great, and at the end of it, it was snowing, and the two couple, they came back together, and I was crying, and it was just such a great..." And he's like, "Give me an apple pie now." And so he's kind of listening in on what she's saying, and then she says this. But at the end of the movie, an angel showed up. And you're Joseph. You're just looking at her like, "What?" "But Joseph, listen, this is so great. Hey, Mary, can you repeat yourself? Did you just say, an angel showed up? Like, I heard about those in the scriptures, and I heard about angels that showed up at different places, but God hasn't been around. God has not showed up in like hundreds of years, literally." Now, they probably don't know about Elizabeth because it seems like they kept things pretty quiet. And she says, "So an angel showed up, and the angel said that I am pregnant." You're Joseph. How you feeling now? You dipping your French fry in the ketchup now? Or do you just drop your fries and your drink? You're like, what? I'm pregnant, but it's not with another man. I'm not cheating on you. What? This is God's child. The Holy Spirit is putting a seed inside of me to give birth to the God-man, Jesus. Okay. If you're Joseph, at the end of that conversation, are you excited or upset? How many would be excited? How many would be upset? Okay. How many don't want to raise their hand today? Okay, good. That's a whole bunch of... All right, good. For most, their faith would be tested, not strengthened in this moment. Would you agree? When circumstances do not go the way that you planned or expected, your faith is tested, not strengthened. And it talks about Joseph, who is a just man, who you would look at and you say he is an upstanding or a righteous person. He is someone that you would look forward to having around you. He's a good neighbor. But now his faith is being tested. And maybe in 2018 your faith has been tested. Maybe you get this. Maybe the news that you've been delivered has just shaken your faith. Maybe the thing somebody told you has just crushed you. Maybe you're on the other side where you dropped your French fry, you dropped your drink and your burger saying, really? This is now my life? This would change everything. And initially, it says in verse 19 into 20, let me give you his response. It says, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, which is going back generations. It's not his father, David. It's going back generations. He's making a very distinct link in Joseph's mind. Joseph, son of David, do not what? Fear. Do not fear. What he's saying very clearly is that Joseph is in fear. And what is he in fear of? Is it of the angel? No. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife. He is afraid to take Mary as his wife. Why? Fear number one, very simply, his fear would be that his reputation would be wrecked. His reputation would be wrecked. Listen, here's what fear does. Fear always preserves self. Fear always preserves self. And that's where he would be in fear. There's a good part of fear and a bad part of fear. The good part of fear is when a car is coming, you don't go out into the street. Your fear pulls you back from doing that, right? And you have different instincts of fear where you say, this is not good, this is not healthy, I'm going to pull myself away from that. But here, Joseph is sitting in fear. He is afraid to be married to her. And here's what I would presume he's thinking, is that his reputation would be wrecked if he moved on with this. Who would believe that this is really not his child? His parents wouldn't. You wouldn't. I wouldn't. You'd all look at him like they're both crazy. They both believe this. His life is wrecked. This is why it's a Christmas collision. This is not the great story that at the end you're like, oh, this is so wonderful. It's no, if you're living that story, your life is now changed. It's altered. It's totally different. And if I read into it, I would say that I would feel stuck as Mary. I would feel stuck as Joseph, whether they did or they didn't. That's my thoughts into their life. And here's Joseph in fear of getting married to Mary. And so fear number two, as I see it, is I'm marrying damaged goods. At that point in time, would he believe that she really is pregnant through God? Probably not. So he would be marrying damaged goods. His marriage would be to a person that he would look at and say, she's a little bit off. She might need medication every now and again. Right? The reality is Mary's body is getting wrecked by God, and Joseph's reputation and life is getting wrecked by God. Is it okay for God to wreck our lives? Big question. Is it okay for God to change things around and do something different in our life that we did not expect or plan? Because in our culture, it's not okay. If God changes things around, or if life kind of goes in a way that we don't plan, where our friend says this, or our finances do this, or this happens in our life, this happens to our health, if this bone breaks and we didn't plan for it, or this disease happens and we didn't want that, if anything happens that way, we look and we say, this is not a good plan, this is a bad plan, I want out of this thing that's going on. That's typical. And we're all there, aren't we? So God's telling them very simply through this angel, you are about to crash. The angel acknowledges and says that he's in fear, but then the angel goes and says a little bit further, says, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. Now, this is comical to me. I'm just a guy reading into this, and guys, you girls, like, careful how we just respond and react. The angel's saying, don't be afraid. Go get married. Think about this a little bit literally. Don't be afraid. Go get married. This is a good thing. Yeah, okay. Just saying. Why? It says, this is from God. It says, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. This is simply from God. This is not something that she's contrived in and of herself. This is something that God is doing in her. So there's specific prophecies that the angel shares with Joseph. Specifically, it says that she will bear a son, verse 21. So how do you know that it'll be a son? Can you predict whether a woman is having a daughter or son based on how she carries the baby? How many women say yes? How many say no? Okay. Some still think, no, you're carrying low, so I think it's a boy, or you're carrying high, or whatever it might be. You know, it's the way you carry. Here the angel's saying, prior to, saying that here's who you're going to have. The sex of the child will be a male. He will be. It's your son. Goes on further, you call his name Jesus. Now this is fascinating because he's naming this child, the angel is giving a name for this child that's very clear and understandable. This is not going to be Joseph Jr., this is going to be Jesus. And so this is God's design for the name of this child. Jesus is a very fascinating name when you look at this. And you go down further, and he says it's just as the prophet had spoken, this Isaiah, in verse 23, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Why didn't they call him Emmanuel? Big question. Is there a distinction here? No, not at all. Actually, here's what's going on. If you go back and you read the whole text, it says you shall call his name Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Could you imagine a name like that? Write that name at the top of the test. Okay, what's your name? Oh, it's Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, and just keep on going and going and going. That is carrying an understanding of his essence as to who he is, not his physical name. Jesus, then, the name is Savior, the one who will save, is the one that this name is actually representing his mission or what he's there for. And then in essence, Emmanuel, God with us, is also the same as Christ, the anointed one in Greek. And so he's saying, here's the Messiah, the anointed one. He is God with us. It's God, the God-man Jesus, who is there to save his people from his sins. It all goes together. And Matthew, who's a Jewish historian at that moment, is verifying and saying, this isn't something that's opposite. This is something that makes total sense for him to say this. And so I just take it in context of what everyone is saying here. So he's saying his name will be called Jesus. So he's given very clearly he's going to be a son, it's going to be a boy, and his name will be Jesus, and here's his purpose. He is the saving one. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is literally God in a bod. He is God in the flesh. So Joseph, then, verse 24, Joseph's fears meet faith. He goes from in fear to now in faith. And here's the reality. Fear preserves self, but faith actively seeks and serves God. So faith actively seeks and serves God. And that's the big thought that I have today. Where is your faith? Do you actively seek and serve God? And here's where Joseph is. He goes from preserving self and preserving his relationship with people, his reputation, and preserving Mary even. And he went from that to faith is actively seeking and serving God now. And so we see him continue on here. I think my battery's messed up or something like that, so I'm going to move that around. So here's what he does in verse 24. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife. So immediately he says, here's what I'm going to do. His faith in God, it drove him to continue with the marriage. He didn't sit back and say, well, I don't know. He didn't live in fear, because here's what fear does. Fear kind of holds you in its grips. Fear holds you back from moving forward to doing things that are right. well, should I or shouldn't I? And you stay in this thought process of, I don't go forward, I live in fear. I'm not sure that I can go and do anything more. What I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of just back up and I don't know, and you just sit there. But instead, Joseph turns and says, here's what I'm going to do. Faith, it actively seeks and serves God. He says, okay, this is what God says, then this is what I will do. So he moves ahead then. Faith then, that continual faith, it drove him to provide and care for Mary. I think my mic's out. Is my mic out? Can you guys hear me? I'm good? Okay. Maybe it's just my ears. So he says his faith, it continued to drive him to provide for and care for Mary. Regardless of what he thought of her at that moment, now he's thinking very differently and saying, okay, this is a God moment, then what's inside of her is God. This is like going to the Holy of Holies. This is going to the temple, if you will, where only God shows up. And inside of my wife is God. It changes everything. And he is now willing to say, I'm willing to take care of my wife. And whatever that looks like is what I'm going to do. And what's their first journey? They go to Bethlehem. Leaves his occupation, leaves everything that he maybe had planned back here, and he's going over here, and they're going to Bethlehem together. And then they stay there for a couple years, and God moves them to Egypt, and he continues to do those kinds of things. And it's amazing how this all works itself out. He says, I'm willing to go through with this. Instead of getting divorced, instead of putting her away and doing something different, it's just fascinating to see how he's willing to step out in faith. And then to go further, he's got to raise this child. How do you raise God? Think about this. How do you raise God? Do you ever correct Jesus? Jesus, I told you to eat all your vegetables. I don't know that you do that. I mean, poor James, his brother, afterwards. You know, I wish you'd just be a little bit more like your older brother. He's God. How can I do that? He gets straight A's. What about you? Oh, come on. How do you compare me to him? You know? And some of you may feel that pain with your older sibling, I don't know. But Joseph believed that Jesus was his Savior, that Jesus would save him as well. And he actively followed by faith and actively did exactly what God wanted him to do. He actively sought after and he actively served God. Far too many, place their faith in things other than God. I think within Christianity, we have this kind of idea that God's over here. He's in this compartment that I go to here and there. But he does not extend past Sunday mornings or certain parts of my life. To have faith in God means that I don't have faith in a bottle, I don't have faith in a pill, I don't have faith in a bank account, I don't have faith in this relationship, I don't have faith in this job or anything else or in my reputation. My faith is only and always in who God is, and I'll let him determine how my life goes. It changes everything. I'm not saying that those things are bad, but your relationship with those things changes. Instead of those being the driver of your life, they become the passenger. Instead of saying, well, this is what's going to get me through my day, my week, or my life, I'm saying, no, God's going to get me through my day, and God can wreck my reputation, God can wreck my finances, God can wreck my body. If that's the design that God has in mind for me, that's okay, and I'll just follow through, and God's going to have a plan down here. That's what true faith is. True faith actively seeks and serves God. It's huge. It simply allows God the right to direct our lives. So we get up every morning and we say, God, I need you. And God, whatever your will is, that's the Lord's Prayer. You know, whatever your will is, Lord, let it be. Let it be. Does that mean that he guaranteed will wreck our lives? No, it's just that he's not going to do things according to our plan. 20 years ago, I've said this before, 20 years ago, my wife and I prayed, Lord, where would you like us to go? We'll go anywhere but New Jersey, especially Camden area. Right? Did God have a sense of humor in that prayer? Yes. 20 years later, I love where I'm at. I love being in New Jersey, in Camden County nonetheless. I can't see myself anywhere else. Is that crazy? See, 20 years ago, I thought, what in the world am I getting into? This is just a starter job. Maybe later on I'll get somewhere else and get out of New Jersey. And then I fell in love with what God had here for us. God had an amazing plan. He's not done yet. And that's just a small little glimmer of all the amazing things that God does in our lives if we're willing to put our faith in Him. I would say this, faith is often misunderstood and misused. You know that? Maybe you don't understand faith altogether. Maybe you misuse it, misunderstand it at different points. People say they have faith because they're stepping into the dark. That's faith to some people, where it looks like, hey, man, things are not going well financially. My car just broke down, so I'm going to go buy this other car. I can't afford it, but by faith, I believe God's going to provide for it. Is that faith? No, we call that stupidity, okay? Well, you say, yeah, but Pastor, faith of a mustard seed. God can move money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He can do whatever he wants. I believe he's going to pay for that. And I know pastors that have gotten into all kinds of debt for a church. God's going to provide for this. Wait a second. Let's push pause on that. That's just saying, I believe that God's so big, I'm going to step out into the dark. Or maybe it's a little bit more personal. Maybe it's, I'll leave this relationship, this marriage, because I'm sick of this thing. I need to get out of this. And God would not want me in this kind of environment all my life. God would not want me to be around hard or harsh or toxic people all the time, right? So God wants me out of this. And so I need to leave. And I'm not talking about abuse and stuff like that. I'm talking about something a little different. That it's uncomfortable, that you don't like where you are. And so we say, I'll step out in the dark and see what happens while you leave your family kind of crushed and hurt in the background. And maybe that's part of the past, or maybe that's been done to you, and I'm touching on a nerve here. But you get what I'm saying then, right? Or maybe you say, well, I'll get into this relationship that I know God doesn't want me to have, and I know that it's not the best thing for me, and I know my friends have warned me, but I'll step out by faith, and God's going to take care of this. Well, faith is not stepping into the dark. Here's what faith is. It's not stepping in the dark. It's stepping into the light. It's stepping into the light. That's what faith is. God always has a next step for us. Just a tip. He always has a next step for us. You say, well, I don't know what God has for me for my future college or for my future husband or future wife or my future of this relationship or my future with this finances. That's fine. What does God have for you today? He'll give you the next step today. It's, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. So for Joseph, he understood what the next step was. Go get married. What does that look like for retirement? What does that look like for, and all these unknowns, and let's be realistic, right? All these things that are going to happen. And all he could see was this one step of faith. Go get married. Real faith is stepping into the light. Tip. If you don't know what the next step is, don't move. If you don't know what the next step is, if God has not made it clear to you, and you're not living in fear, like sometimes God makes it absolutely clear, and you're not moving because you don't want to. That's stubbornness and disobedience. Different story. Okay? If you don't know what God wants you to do yet, then don't move. Seek and serve God. That's true faith. If you know what to do, if you know God wants you to do this, then move. So at 9 years old, I'm sorry, at 8 years old in my life, I knew God wanted me to get baptized. That was at 8. Okay, time for me to get baptized. So in front of the church, I went public with what God has been doing inside of me. I knew that I had accepted Jesus as my Savior, so I got up in front of the church and I got baptized in front of the church. Simple. Did I understand what the rest of my life had? Nope, I just knew that that was my next step. I knew that at 9 years old, God wanted me to be a pastor. What'd that mean? that mean I started reading theology right away? Nope. That just meant, okay, God's got a plan for me. So I knew that I needed to go to college for that. Okay, God, this is your plan for me. I'm going to college for that. And I knew I had to finish college. That was hard for me. So I knew that in order to do that, I had to follow God and trust God for the brains and the ability to think, the ability to read, the ability to study, and all those things. As I was following through with God's plan for my life, I literally had to trust Him for every single moment. Being a pastor, do you realize that every moment is the same? It never goes away. So as we continue to minister and serve God in different ways, whether you're serving in kids' church and nursery and in as a greeter out front, wherever you're serving on the AV, it's not simply, hey, I'm just doing this because I have enough ability. No, it's very simple. It's I am trusting God, and I need God to give me the ability, the strength, and the endurance, and the problem-solving sometimes to be able to get through and do exactly what He wants. That's true faith. So the question is, what kind of faith do we have? There's a simple part of my faith journey, and I can give you 2018's faith journey. And in a couple weeks, we're going to have a celebration Sunday, which is a one-year celebration of turning to Milestone Church. And in that, we're just celebrating the milestone moments of what God's done in our life. It's simple steps of faith where God said, hey, listen, here's where I'm moving in your life. And so here, I'm going to give you the encouragement to go this direction. I'll give you the light that moves you in this direction. And so then the question is, are you willing to take that step? And for many, you've said, yes, I'm going to take that step. That's faith. For some, you sit back in fear and say, I don't know. Here's what this changes. If you are living by faith, it will change your relationships. Because by faith, you're called to love one another. Not to wait for somebody to love me. With Joseph, go get married to her. Go love her. Go care for her. Go provide for her. It had all of those things tucked in there. And you're going to take care of and provide for Jesus as well. You won't have to discipline him much, but you'll take care of him. True faith is seeks and serves God. Very simple. That's true faith. You're stepping into the light. Where's your faith today? During this Christmas season, it's easy to get wrapped up in all the things that we do. We're so busy, 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 busy. It's so easy to get wrapped up in that. And you come and you're like, man, I'm so exhausted, but I have a lot more to do today. And we get busy with that. Can we just pull back for a moment and say, hey, listen, we need to have the faith to be able to walk forward in what God has for us. And maybe you're not looking forward to this get-together you have with family, friends, or something like that. Or maybe you're not looking forward to seeing so-and-so. Or maybe you're struggling with this. By faith, seek and serve God. By faith, you step out and say, okay, He is my Savior, He is my Lord, I'm going to seek and serve Him. And if He's not yet your Savior, then today's the day that you place your faith in Him. What does faith look like? When you move faith from fear to faith, it looks like this. I brought this bottle of water up here so I could sip on it a little bit. And every now and again, I need to. Here's what faith looks like. Real faith takes fear and says, I'm done with fear, and I'm going to live my life in faith. Not blind faith, not faith that walks into darkness, that I'm not sure what's going on. No, it's faith that walks in the light. And so in order to do that, we're simply going to say this. I'm pouring out the fear that I have. And how far do you go with faith? Do you pour a little bit? Really? Here's what a lot of us do. We say, get it, but I'm going to, by faith, I'm going to do half, right? And this is as far as I go. And I'm going to hold on to the fear. Like, I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to love my husband. I'm going to love my coworker. Because God told me to. And I'm going to go just to this part. And if it doesn't work out, then at least I'll protect myself. I'm preserving me. Notice in fear, do you see that? To preserve is to serve me. right? That's what fear does. Faith says, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to pour it out. That wasn't enough. I'm going to keep pouring. That wasn't enough. I'm going to keep pouring until it's what? All out. It's all out. Not a little bit, but it's all out. That's true faith. I'm all in, God. It's not that I'm doing just a little bit here and there. It's not that I'm living according to fear anymore. It's not that if they don't respond right, I'm not going to do this anymore. It's no, God, I'll go and marry her. That's Joseph. This is the rest of my life. I'm all in. That's true faith. It's not reserved or preserving myself. What's your faith like today? Do you need to give all of it in? Is there some more that you need to be stepping into? What's God calling you to? I know for very simple things, taking that first step of faith and trusting Jesus as your Savior is huge, isn't it? Where it's, okay, I'm going to take this step of faith into God and saying, okay, God, you lead me and direct me. And as you do that, God says, I've got light right ahead of you. It's going to be awesome, but it's going to change everything because you're going to get rid of the darkness in you, and He's going to actually do that for you. But then the next step is to go public with my faith. And so I'm going to go in front of people and I'm going to get baptized and show people this is what God's done inside of me. And then it's going to be, I'm going to be living different. I'm going to love people instead of loving myself. I'm going to take care of instead of taking care of me. Instead of preserving myself, I'm all in. I'm open just like Jesus was on the cross. That's true faith. And during this season, I just want to encourage you to live that way, to be totally poured out, not partially, not reserving anything for yourself. God will take care of you. Pour it all out for Him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you that you are God. We thank you that we can trust you. We thank you for how you love us. Thank you for how you work in, in so many different ways to guide us and to show us the light. Lord, help us to love you, to seek you, to serve you, and to love one another in the way that you've called us to. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts to you. Lord, if we're pushing back at all, if we're holding back, Lord, I pray that you'd open up our hearts to you. Give us strength through Jesus, I pray.